when I first came to know Sri Govinda Maharaj, it was around February 1987, and I came to the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mutt from ISKCON. And when I came, Srila Govinda Maharaj came to talk with me because he knew that I wanted a connection with Srila Sridhar Maharaj. So when he came to talk to me, he said, well, you already have sannyas from Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Why do you want Srila Sridhar Maharaj's connection? And he asked me specifically, and why do you want a name from Srila Sridhar Maharaj? So then I answered, I thought a few seconds, and I said to Srila Govinda Maharaj, well, when a woman wants to marry a man, then she wants, or have a connection with a man, then she wants his name. When she wants to marry a man, she wants his name. And Srila Govinda Maharaj pounded his hand on the table, and he said, very good answer. And then it was arranged that I came, and Srila Govinda Maharaj and Srila Sridhar Maharaj were present. And then Srila Sridhar Maharaj told me the sannyas mantra. And then Srila Govinda Maharaj told me the meaning of my name, that my name was given as Bhakti Pavan Janardhan. And previously, my name was Panchadravida Swami. So Srila Govinda Maharaj explained all the syllables were there. But then he said the meaning of Bhakti Pavan Janardhan, he said, was one who saves the people by giving them the rag marg conception of Krishna. That's what he told me. Named Bhakti Pavan Janardhan.
Everything, this is only one day, the first meeting. Everything
well, no, happened. This was the second day. Uh-huh. Well, this was when I was interviewed from Govinda Maharaj, because Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj had said, told Govinda Maharaj that I was serious and that I wanted Guru Maharaj's connection. So then Govinda Maharaj came to interview me, and then I received the sannyas mantra and name from Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and Srila Govinda Maharaj told me the meaning of that name. And then the next day I left, and then I went and got all my things, and I went back to America and to Mexico and sorted out all my own business because I was leaving ISKCON. Yeah. Then after some months, after maybe 4 or 5 months, when everything was sorted out, Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Sridhar Maharaj told me that when you leave ISKCON, don't take any men or money or any possessions. So I did that. I left without taking any property or any men or any money. And I left practically without anything. And that was Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Sridhar Maharaj's instructions. Then after about 4 or 5 months, I came back to the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mutt. And this time I came with Ashram Maharaj, he was here at that same time. And I was wondering what my role was going to be. So I was, at that time I had been traveling and preaching and everything in ISKCON. And I saw that Srila Sridhar Maharaj stayed here at the Mutt. So I was thinking, oh, I'll just stay at the Mutt sometime. Like Guru Maharaj is here and I'll just stay at the Mutt. And I was even thinking that maybe I can, retire from all so many activities. And I told the Srila Govinda Maharaj, I said, well, Srila Govinda Maharaj, I was thinking I'd like to just stay here at the Navadvipa, the Chaitanya Saraswat Mutt. And Srila Govinda Maharaj, he said to me, he said, what did you say that you would like to go to Calcutta and collect? And I said, no, Maharaj, I wasn't saying that. I was saying I'd like to stay here in Navadvip. And he says, I think it would be better if you went to Navadvip. I mean, if you went to Calcutta and collected. So then I was sent by Srila Govinda Maharaj to Calcutta. And I went and collected. He stayed in Calcutta. I went to see businessmen and collected. So that was his first instructions to me was not to just sit in Navadvip, but to go collecting. And Ashram Maharshi also went collecting. The first couple of days, we collected together, and after 2 or 3 days, and we decided to collect separately, and we more or less began competing against each other. Anyway, after some time, I was collecting, and I would bring the results to Srila Govinda Maharaj, and he would say, and he would tell me, "No, you take the results directly to Srila Guru Maharaj. He's up on the balcony." And so I would go up there with my collections, and I would give them to Srila Srinivas Maharaj. And then Srila Srinivas Maharaj counted up the number of rupees that I did, and then he said, "Count," and then he divided by the number of days that I was collecting, and then he figured out how many rupees per day I was collecting, and then he said, "Okay, very good." And then I collected up till Janmashtami. I figured people were very receptive when you talked about Janmashtami, so I collected up to Janmashtami, worked hard to collect, and then I brought the results to Guru Maharaj. And then he told me, "So you have done this much for Krishna, but now Radhastami is coming up, and she's a guru, she's the head of our whole sampradaya. So now what will you do for her?" So then I went back to Calcutta, and I was collecting more, and then bringing the results in, and I also collected for Srila Sridhar Maharaj's till his appearance day and everything. So that was my first earlier contact with Srila Govinda Maharaj, and he told me that, you know, I would collect. Then, after some months, when I was to go back to the West, Srila Govinda Maharaj, he told me, "Well, I went back to the West and everything." And then later, maybe the following year, came again and collected again, and Srila Govinda Maharaj, she would talk with us and everything. And Srila Govinda Maharaj, sometimes he would take prasadam with us. And I remember things like, he was very, you know, his relationship was very personal with all of us. And then Bhakti, I remember one year Bhakti Kiran Giri Maharaj was here, because I guess that was around or Purnima time, he came back, and Giri Maharaj came, and then Srila Govinda Maharaj was surprising because he'd be eating with us, and then, like by force, he'd take some prasadam off our plate, you know, because, I mean, it's very sweet. Very sweet, and he was like, then he went to Bhakti Kiran Giri Maharaj, and he made him eat with us, with the Westerners, and then he also gave him, I think, things off our plate and everything. So it's just like going to Mars, just like playing, and you know, but a very sweet nature. He used to talk in those days, he used to talk about a lot about, you know, he'd talk about Srila Sridhar Maharaj, but more. During those early days, he would talk to us about the relationship with Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami. I was talking to Srila Govinda Maharaj, and one day, and he just said, maybe I asked about him personally, and he said, "You already have so many tapes from Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and so many tapes from Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Srinivas Maharaj." He said, "I'm just a boot. Like, I'm just a ghost. I'm just a boot. I'm just a ghost." And he didn't want me to suggest what he would talk about. Then, of course, Srila Guru Maharaj left in 1988. Then we came, and we would be with Srila Govinda Maharaj. All of us, we would come, and we'd be with Govinda Maharaj. I remember when Srila Sridhar Maharaj was still present, and I was very new, and one day Srila Govinda Maharaj was in Calcutta, which wasn't unusual, because sometimes Srila Govinda Maharaj would go to Calcutta And sometimes when he would be going to go to Calcutta, when he'd be leaving to go to Calcutta, Srila Guru Maharaj would, you know, Govinda Maharaj was taking care of Guru Maharaj's health. And sometimes when he would go to Calcutta, apparently Srila Srinivas Maharaj would be feeling fine, and then Govinda Maharaj would leave to go to Calcutta because he had some work to do. But before he could get to the Gauranga Setu Bridge, because he had to go the back way, Guru Maharaj would send somebody on a bicycle to stop him at the bridge. And they'd say, oh, Guru Maharaj suddenly is not feeling well. He wants you to come back. So a lot of times, you know, sometimes Guru Maharaj even would have Govinda Maharaj's car intercepted before it could get to the bridge. He would send somebody on a bicycle, bring him back. After Guru Maharaj had left, I wanted to come immediately, but I wasn't sure if that was correct because I thought, well, I'm a Westerner and Guru Maharaj has left and probably the devotees here in the mandal will be feeling this very personal thing and I don't know if they'll want people to come. So I was thinking in that way, and I called up and I spoke to Govinda Maharaj and I said, well, Guru Maharaj has left and I wanted to come, but I don't know if it's proper or anything. And no, Govinda Maharaj said, no, you come immediately. So then I came here after Guru Maharaj had left. And I remember in the beginning, as I said, when I first was here, I got a name and everything, but I was only here for one or two days, and then I went back to the West. So then the next time I came, and one of the devotees from the Mott, you know, of course I'd only been here for 2 days, so he didn't really remember me so much. And he asked me my name, and I told him, Bhakti Prabhupada Narayana Maharaj. And he said, who gave you that name? And I said, Srila Srinivas Maharaj, Srila Govinda Maharaj. And then he said, oh, then you're one of the family, and he's writing my name in the book and everything like that. And then when I get some letters when I was in the West and everything, you know, from Guru Maharaj's secretary. So anyway, then every year when I'd come back with Srila Govinda Maharaj, of course he'd talk with all of us, and many times when he'd be speaking, he'd always say that I am speaking poor English and all that. He'd say in his lectures, and I cannot say this properly in English. Yes. But all the time we were seeing him, we could understand him. And each year his English was getting better. And of course then he became, and in the beginning he would speak in English, and if it was, you know, if it was just us, he'd speak very freely, and then if he was lecture, he'd be a little bit more cautious about speaking because he wanted to say everything properly, and sometimes he'd be looking for the correct word, and he'd ask Sagar Maharaj, who was with him. So we'd come to the Mott in '80s. All these years I would come to the Mott, 87, 88, 89, 90, and somehow or in other, we'd always come and we'd always be with Srila Govinda Maharaj and we'd visit him. And, you know, the relationship was always very, very nice to be with Govinda Maharaj, and the relationship becoming deeper because he's getting to know all of us and he has confidence with us and everything. But I never thought during those early years that Srila Govinda Maharaj would ever leave Navadvip or India because he was always here. And then for maybe the first 4 years after Guru Maharaj left, he didn't really travel. But so I didn't, in my mind, I was thinking that Govinda Maharaj wasn't going to leave India. But then around 92, then it became known that Govinda Maharaj was going to go on a world tour and everything.
So Maharaj, in that first meeting you had with him, you came, of course, with the idea of hearing from Srila Sridhar Maharaj. But you also heard from, as you said, from Srila Prabhupada, so much affection was from Guru Maharaj to Gurudev. How was like your impression when you meet this personality?
Well, you know, Srila, this was 1987, so I think it was from before, when was it, 86 or so, that Srila Govinda Maharaj was already the acharya of the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, you know. So he was acharya, and Guru Maharaj was very much retired from activities. So, you know, naturally Guru Maharaj would be on his balcony, but he wasn't so much talking with the devotees that much, but Govinda Maharaj was always present. And maybe Govinda Maharaj wasn't as active as in later years, but he's still the main personality. So we would always come and our relationship would be with Srila Govinda Maharaj. From the very beginning, when I was going to approach Srila Sridhar Maharaj for receiving sannyas mantra and name, it was actually with Srila Govinda Maharaj who I spoke. And actually, at that time, Guru Maharaj had turned over all initiations and everything already previously to Govinda Maharaj. I didn't know that. And I guess Guru Maharaj, out of his affection and kindness and with Srila Govinda Maharaj's help, I heard the mantra from Srila Guru Maharaj, but actually Srila Govinda Maharaj was the acharya at that time. And even then, Srila Govinda Maharaj, even when Guru Maharaj disappeared, Srila Govinda Maharaj for some time, maybe, I don't know, the first year or so, he continued to initiate people in the name of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, because he said they had come for Srila Sridhar Maharaj, so he wasn't going to disappoint them. But actually, it was our understanding that Srila Govinda Maharaj was their guru, but he didn't say that. He said he was initiating them for Srila Sridhar Maharaj, even after Guru Maharaj had disappeared, maybe up to 1 year. I remember one person Govinda Maharaj initiated like that, but then was not proper in his dealing with Srila Govinda Maharaj and caused trouble. And one devotee, I believe, in Malaysia. And then Srila Govinda Maharaj, he one time remarked kind of candidly to us, he said, "That person doesn't understand that he's actually my disciple." But Govinda Maharaj told him that he's initiating in Srila Sridhar Maharaj's name.
Right.
So when we came to India, more and more, we always be spending time with Srila Govinda Maharaj. Then there was, after Guru Maharaj left, there was some intrigue going on because there were some persons who maybe didn't accept the authority of Srila Govinda Maharaj. Srila Govinda Maharaj remarked that during the time of Guru Maharaj, because Guru Maharaj always gave him his full backing, that he was like an autocrat. But now that Guru Maharaj had disappeared, Govinda Maharaj said he had to function more like within democracy. Everyone knows what the nature of Govinda Maharaj is. So sweet and, you know, personal. We'd always come here. We'd go wherever he was just to be with him. You know, whether it's in Navadeep or in Calcutta. And then with his world tours, then we began traveling with him also. So all that time, we're forming a very close relationship. Mm-hmm. And he'd often be eating with the devotees. That was he'd always take meals with the devotees. And, you know, his servants would cook for him. And then all the devotees would eat with Srila Govinda Maharaj. I mean, especially the sannyasis and the leaders of the different temples, they'd all take with Srila Govinda Maharaj. And of course, he didn't always sit in the temple and talk with the devotees. We had quarters for Srila Govinda Maharaj and room where he could receive all the devotees. And most often he would sit upstairs in those quarters and he'd receive, you know, all the devotees. I mean, all the devotees could come up and see him. And there'd be more than 100, 200. There'd be a lot of devotees that would come up to see Srila Govinda Maharaj. And one lady came to do an interview with him from the radio, and she interviewed Govinda Maharaj, and after she talked with him, Govinda Maharaj was very sweet with her. And then afterwards, she said to Srila Govinda Maharaj, she said, "You are the most charming person I've ever met in my life." So, you know, his nature is very, very sweet. You know, some complete stranger lady who interviewed him, she told it, "You're the most charming person I ever met." And everybody who met Govinda Maharaj, everybody was very much charmed by him. And he knew so much of the West. He could understand so much of the West. When he was in SoCal, we would see in Navadvip and in Calcutta, that Govinda Maharaj would always listen to the news. Mm-hmm. So when he was in Soquel, we arranged to bring a television. There was a television so that he could see the news. And then they gave him the remote control, and the news was on. In the West, the news is much different than in Calcutta. And Govinda Maharaj's way of watching the news in Soquel was very different because, you know, he'd be used to watching the Indian news and just the world news and everything. You know, it was a whole different format, you know, all these commercials and everything. And he didn't seem to have too much interest in it, in the presentation. So then he had the remote control, and when the commercial came on, he took the remote control and he increased the volume to maximum. It was very loud. The commercial was on, it was maximum volume. We're all like almost closing our ears so loud and wondering why Govinda Maharaj is making the commercial, you know, the advertisement at maximum volume. And when the commercial was over, then he turned to us and he said, "This is the program." You know, the commercial, he said, "This is the program. The rest of it, the news, is just filler. This is the real program." So he's even he's from not, you know, he's from Bamanpar in a village, but he could understand really the way the West operated, just intuitively. He knew that the commercial was the real program and the news was just some filler that they put in. You know, he turned up the commercial full volume to get that point across to us. I think it was 94, 95, we had a program for Govinda Maharaj at Loudon Nelson, which is one hall. We're still having programs there, sometimes in Santa Cruz, and had a stage. And the stage is about 3.5 feet off the ground. You know, it's high off the ground. And in that time, say 94, 95, you know, Srila Govinda Maharaj, she's like 65 years old. But he goes, you can see the difference. At night, he go to the edge of the stage, and the devotees down in the underneath the stage were doing Sankirtan, and Srila Govinda Maharaj just jumped 3.5 feet off the stage and landed on the, you know, ground there with the devotees to join in the Sankirtan. And I was really surprised because Govinda Maharaj, you know, he's like the acharya and he's, you know, older, and he just jumped off a 3.5 foot stage down and to join with the devotees in the Sankirtan. Even I walked to the edge of the stage and I kind of carefully got down, but he had just jumped down. Then later we said to I said something to Srila Govinda Maharaj, and he said, I may not be a young person, but I'm always thinking that I'm young. Anyway, those were the early years when Srila Govinda Maharaj was just traveling on his world tours, and we went everywhere with Govinda Maharaj. And when Govinda Maharaj would go to Soquel, then he would always go to Mexico, Venezuela sometimes Brazil, and other times he would always take all of us with him. When he would go to England, to Italy, to Russia, different places, he would want us to go with him. So we were traveling with Govinda Maharaj. When it was always like he would visit the West and we would visit him in India. We were always thinking he would either be coming to visit us or we would be going to visit him. And then he would travel on his world tours and we would travel with him. Myself or Ashram Maharaj or senior devotees, they would travel with him to the world on the world tour. So like this, we were with Govinda Maharaj either, and then sometimes I'd be in California doing my service and then speaking with Govinda Maharaj and talking with him and discussing things with him. So like this. And many, many different exchanges with Srila Govinda Maharaj. I don't know what's outstanding. Well, one thing I do remember that stands out a little bit in my mind is one time Srila Govinda Maharaj was with him in Vrindavan, and he said, "Now I have come to Vrindavan, so I will have to execute some austerities now that I've come here. And I said to Srila Govinda Maharaj, I said, no, you don't have to execute any austerity. You're the person who purifies the holy places. That you come to the holy places and you relieve the holy places of so much that is accumulated. When people go to the holy places to relieve themselves of their karma and to take advantage of, you know, go to the holy place for a business purpose, you know, the saintly persons who are themselves the holy places purified, and they purify the holy places. When I said that, Govinda Maharaj said to me, he says, oh, you see that way because you are a disciple. Or he says, that way, you see that way because you are a disciple. Indicating that I was seen that way because I was considering Srila Govinda Maharaj as my guru. And I liked it very much when he said that. As many times he would refer to us as his, refer to us in different ways. This is God, brothers, or this, or that. But then he said that. When he said that, you see that way because you were the simple one. I felt very good.
Yeah. So, what do you consider to be Gurudev's most prominent teachings?
Well, everyone knows that everywhere he goes, he went, he would always say, Trinada Pisi Sunichena Tadoriba Sahishnu Manina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. He said, this is the hot formula, humility, offering respect to others, and tolerance. And he would say sometimes that we know the sloka from Sikshastika, more humble than the grass in the street, more tolerant than a tree, able to offer all respects to others without asking for respect in return. And Srila Govinda Maharaj remarked that is, anybody can feign or pretend to be humble, and anyone can, you know, also, you know, show some respect to others, whether they're really sincere in doing so or not. But he said it's very difficult to pretend to be tolerant. He said, you're either tolerant or you're not. Mm-hmm. And when we went to Srila Govinda Maharaj, we went to Colombia. And in Colombia, yes, it was when television news reporter asked to Srila Govinda Maharaj, said, what special message do you have for the Colombian people? And Srila Govinda Maharaj says, he said, your country is already full of so many natural resources, nice, you know, fruits and vegetables and nice, you know, climate and everything. And he says, so you have so many natural things, he said. But if you would just add this one thing, then he said, Trinada Pisuni Chena Taror Iva Sahishuna. He explained, I think he said, and he told everyone have humility, offering respect to others, and tolerance. He said, we would just show these qualities and the country would be so enriched. So even when he was just asked, what message do you have for the Colombian people? He quoted the Sikshastika and telling that if they would have these qualities, the country would be very enriched. So I feel that he showed that as his principal teaching. Then also you asked previously what also was some special things I remember, something of exchanges of Govinda Maharaj. A few things I remember that happened in Mexico, which I thought was very prominent. One We went to a symposium of religions in Morelia, Michoacán, in Mexico. And afterwards, one television reporter, you know, interviewed Sheila Govindamarsh, but the question that the reporter asked was kind of a, seemed to me a little bit of a trick question, because you know, that reporter said, asked Sheila Govindamarsh, what is your opinion of the Catholic Church? We know in Mexico, 99%, so many percent, high percentage of the people are Catholic, and they asked Sheila Govindamarsh, what is his impression of the Catholic Church? And Sheila Govindamarsh replied very nicely. He said, all religions are meant for taking people from the lowest point, which is base materialism, to the highest point, there to some spirituality. He said, all religions are trying to do good for the people. And that, I thought that was a very nice answer, the way he explained it. So all religions are trying to do good for the people, trying to take them from basement, gross materialism, to some spiritual conception of life. And so that was a nice answer. Then another thing I remember was very special was when Sheila Govindamarsh went to Monterrey, Mexico. Ashram Marsh had sold tickets for the program, which is in a big auditorium. And Ashram Marsh had sold tickets with Ticketmaster.
1996.
Maybe. We were very surprised because he sold tickets with Ticketmaster. We didn't think, and we don't even, at the time, we didn't even have a temple in Monterrey. But Ashram Marsh sold tickets with Ticketmaster, and he advertised that the program is a night with Mystic India. And yet, with the tickets also, and entitled the people to come to, like, I think it was, in addition to the evening program with Sheila Govindamarsh, to come to, like, I think it was 6 symposiums during the day. So the first one was supposed to be at 9 in the morning. So Sheila Govindamarsh said, now the sannyasis can go, they can earn their food or something. So he sent us to the first program. And we were wondering how this program was going to be successful, selling with Ticketmaster. So we went to the first symposium at 9 in the morning. I think it was on, you know, either Bhakti Yoga, and there was another symposium on chanting of the holy name. Anyway, when we got to the auditorium at 9 in the morning, we found there was like 300 people there for the first symposium. So I was very surprised, because as I said, these tickets were being sold at Ticketmaster, and we didn't even have a center in Monterrey, so we didn't think that people would buy the tickets. But for the first symposium early in the morning, were 300 people. And then for all the symposiums during the day, which different devotees, we took turns talking at the symposiums, they were all well attended. And that night, when Sheila Govindamarsh came for the evening program, in the evening, all these people showed up in very, very dressed. The ladies were wearing evening dresses, and the men were wearing like suit and tie. You know, everyone was showing up in the place, and they were full. The auditorium was full. And when Govindamarsh came up in the car, you know, when Sheila Govindamarsh got out of the car, there were all these people there waiting, all dressed up very nicely, and they offered obeisances to Govindamarsh. So I was like shocked, you know, that all these people dressed up and then they offer obeisances. I mean, touching their head, down. I was kind of surprised, like, how is this? And they were all enthusiastic and saying, Jai to Sheila Govindamarsh. I was thinking, how is this possible? But, you know, somehow or other they knew about Sheila Govindamarsh. And I also thought that in Mexico, for many, many years, books were distributed and everything. So somehow or other, I also believe there's a devotional audience out there that maybe we don't always know about. Anyway, Then we had the program in the auditorium. And then there was one lady who was, to my mind, she was trying to cause some trouble. Because she, when after Govinda Maharaj spoke, then he asked questions and answers. And this one lady said, "What is today? The Pope met with the Dalai Lama. What is your impression of their meeting?" And Govinda Maharaj said, I, you know, she said it was in the newspaper. He said, "I did not read about that." I didn't know. And then, but she persisted. She kept on saying, "Well, you know, the Pope met with the Dalai Lama. What is your impression?" She had kind of pushed at for an answer, and finally, Srila Govinda Maharaj said, "We are not interested in political meetings." But so then the woman got kind of like upset. She said, "Our Pope is meeting with the Dalai Lama, and you're talking about it being a political meeting," and she's trying to create some disharmony. Instead, Srila Govinda Maharaj said, "No, when I said we are not interested in political he didn't say political meetings. Srila Govinda Maharaj said, "We are not interested in politics." He said, "We are not interested in politics." And then the lady tried to cause much commotion. She said, "You are saying the Pope meets with the Dalai Lama and you're calling that politics?" Then Srila Govinda Maharaj said, very quickly, "No. You already asked me about this, and I said I didn't read about that event." And then you kept on asking these questions. So Govinda Maharaj said, "So the politics is coming from you. You are doing politics." And then, Govinda Maharaj reacted very quickly, and then everyone started shouting at the woman, "Sit down, be quiet." it was very nice the way he handled that. First, I thought, "Oh, now there's going to be some trouble." Actually, he told, "No, the politics is coming from you." I said, "We are not interested in politics." And then Srila Govinda Maharaj said, "Of course, if the Pope meets with the Dalai Lama, the Pope is a religious leader of all the Catholics, and the Dalai Lama is also a known religious leader. So if we give respect to all religions, and if they're meeting, of course, that is..." He says, "Of course, that is of two religious leaders," but he said, "The politics that you are trying to cause some disturbance to the woman." So very quickly he dealt with it. I mean, Govinda Maharaj was very able to deal with all kinds of disturbing elements. It's hard for me to say what exchange I remember most from Srila Govinda Maharaj. So many things were personal, you know, and he'd say things to you and he'd explain things to you and he'd have much affection for you. And that happened throughout all the years, 25 years or so of the relationship. But I cannot remember everything. I mean, I can't remember any particular things standing out. There were just so many incidents. One time he was visiting SoCal and he told me, this was his humor, you know. He says, "You must make people feel very welcome." He said, "You can say like to people, like you, I have not seen a face so smiling and so effulgent with Krishna consciousness." He said, "You can say like..." He says, be like me." He said, "You know, you can say like that, complete liar." He said, "You can be like me, complete liar, saying to people, like you, I have not seen a face so effulgent and with smiling Krishna consciousness." And then he told me, "And you should smile more." And I told Srila Govinda Maharaj, I said, "Well, sometimes, you know, with the weight of management, sometimes you become worried and it's hard to sometimes smile in certain circumstances." And he said, Srila Govinda Maharaj said, "Then you should get an operation." Like, have a smile. Operation, have a smile put on your face. Srila Srila Govindamar's humor was very special.
Actually, that's one of the questions. Can you say something about Srila Gurudev as a transcendental humorist?
Well, other humorists, remark he made, but I remember especially he said, I am like Lord Jagannath. He said, Lord Jagannath has no arms and legs, but he has eyes. And he said, then referring to his disciples, so I am seeing everything, meaning that we're doing so many things wrong, but I am not taking any action. Meaning, like Lord Jagannath has no arms and legs. So I am like Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath has no arms and legs, but he has eyes. So I am seeing everything that everyone is doing, and so many things doing wrong. But I am not taking any action against that. But I thought that was a humorous reason. One time I remember I complained at one place about the local management, and I said, like Mahaprabhu led a civil disobedience movement, meaning that he took some action. And then Srila Govinda Marshals, he was a little disturbed by that, so he said, So who is the Qazi? Govinda Maharaj? he was telling me, don't disturb things. And one personal remark I remember is that Srila Govinda Maharaj was talking to someone he knew, one Bengali man, and he referred to me and he said, I have no daughters. He said, I have no sons. He had daughters. I have no sons, but if I had a son, I would want him to be like him. So he referred to me. So I was happy that he, made that comment. What other questions we have?
What is Srila Gurudev's unique contribution towards Sampradaya and to the world?
There's his pranam mantra, which is Gurba Bhishtam Supurakam Guruganara Sisha Sambhushitam Chintya Chintya Samasta Veda Nipanam Shri Rupa Patanugam Govindam Abhidam Uchalam Bharatanam Bhaktyanvitam Sundaram Bande Vishwa Guruncha Tibyat Bhagavat Premna Vibhi Japanam. Well, everything conceivable and inconceivable is known to Srila Govinda Maharaj. And he is intimately related with Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and everything that Srila Sridhar Maharaj was giving, and which some things have been explained by others, but everything was known to Srila Govinda Maharaj, of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and he could present Srila Sridhar Maharaj to the whole world. But it didn't end just there. Srila Govinda Maharaj had his own unique contributions. I mean, he knew Srila Guru Maharaj's, Siddhanta and so many things that Guru Maharaj had presented. Srila Govinda Maharaj said that he spent 42 years with Srila Maharaj, and he said when Guru Maharaj spoke, it was like Guru Maharaj had the ability to throw things into Srila Govinda Maharaj's consciousness, and having heard from Guru Maharaj, they stayed in Govinda Maharaj's consciousness, and he could explain that to others. And I think one time in Imlitol in Vrindavan, they were trying to figure out explanation about some dates about Mahaprabhu's birth, that unique vision that Srila Sridhar Maharaj had given, but he had given it in the form of, a date that was, referred to different symbols like the Vedas, referring to different aspects of the date. And couldn't understand that. And Srila Govinda Maharaj was young, and he told them what date Guru Maharaj was referring to, and explained why. And they were surprised, and they said, how could you understand that? And he said, because I'm a disciple of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, I can explain these things. So he could explain you know, many things about Srila Sridhar Maharaj's conclusions. And at the same time, Srila Govinda Maharaj, he had his own unique contribution. And some of the, Govinda Maharaj could say, you know, explain things very beautifully and explain his own unique vision, which was very deep. But he also said that he was traveling all over the world to see the fulfillment of Guru Maharaj's philosophy about how the flag on the of the Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Mutt was announcing the glories and victories of the Mutt. And he, when Govinda Maharaj said, I'm traveling all over the world just to see the fulfillment of Guru Maharaj's prophecy. And at the same time, everywhere in the world, Govinda Maharaj had this great ability to attract so many persons. I remember in the beginning, the mission of Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Mutt in Mexico was very small, but then, you know, Ashram Maharaj was preaching and he attracted persons. And yet, I was also living in Mexico. But then Srila Govinda Maharaj began his world tours and he came to Mexico and hundreds of persons joined. And many of them were disciples of Govinda Maharaj and they became leaders also. And they all cooperated very much with Srila Ashram Maharaj, you know. People like Madhuchanda and Lakshmi Rani and Jai Balai. He was, you know, he had been active in since time of ISKCON, but these other persons joined the mission, and so many people were attracted by Govinda Maharaj, and the mission all over the world became really huge. I mean, Sri Chaitanya Saraswati mission all over the world because of the preaching of Govinda Maharaj grew so large, and it was like, you know, Srila Prabhupada traveled all over the world, and you know, was very dynamic in his preaching, and then all of a sudden we saw that Srila Govinda Maharaj, he had that kind of great energy and ability to attract everyone, so it was like a revival of Srila Prabhupada's preaching. And even people who were not initially active in the mission, who had been disciples of Prabhupada, when they saw Srila Govinda Maharaj, many of them told me how much he reminded them of Srila Prabhupada and how much ability he had. And he attracted people. There were many people Mexico who were disciples of Srila Prabhupada that told me that about Govinda Maharaj. And then also in Santa Cruz, California, Pushta Krishna, who had been a personal secretary of Srila Prabhupada, he became attracted by Srila Govinda Maharaj. And although his family was always had been very active in ISKCON, he himself became very attached to Srila Govinda Maharaj. Wherever he would go, he would also refer to Govinda Maharaj and talk about Govinda Maharaj and contribute to Srila Govinda Maharaj's mission. So I saw that Govinda Maharaj had that quality. You know, he could explain the deep realizations of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and at the same time he had his own realizations, and he also had the ability, this great preaching ability, that wherever he went, he would attract many people. And I had not seen that kind of ability. You know, I had been with Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada showed how he could travel and preach and attract so many people. And now Srila Govinda Maharaj did it and was like, my view, it was like a great revival of Krishna consciousness all over the world. Like the acharyas again coming in present. And to see that kind of a personality and who was a great acharya, I felt like very special to be in the association of Srila Govinda Maharaj. I mean, he was present for so many years with us, 20, 25 and more years with the devotees, and in some cases 30 years. And he showed so much ability to dynamic preaching. We heard so much about him. Even when we weren't with Govinda Maharaj, we'd hear about his traveling and preaching, and they'd broadcast it. And remember, even when he was ill in the latter part of his time present, you know, he was in England and they were wanting him to go to Russia. But the doctor in England said that Srila Govinda Maharaj, I think he was too ill to travel. But they had booked programs for Srila Govinda Maharaj in Russia. So the devotees asked to Srila Govinda Maharaj, the doctor says you're too ill to travel, what should we do? And then Srila Govinda Maharaj smiled and he said, change doctors. And then the doctor gave him permission. But Srila Govinda Maharaj, you know, so much beautiful energy and affection, attracting people all over the world. Everywhere he would go, he would say, I've come to visit family and friends, and, you know. And that's what it was like to be with Srila Govinda Maharaj. You were part of his family, and he showed so much friendship to everybody. So, very special. You'll never be able to find another person like Govinda Maharaj.
Finally, how can we continue to serve him in this period of separation?
Everywhere I would travel, and when Govinda Maharaj was present, I was either going to see Srila Govinda Maharaj or he was sending me someplace to do some work for him, like to preach for him. Like I would go to Calcutta to see Srila Govinda Maharaj, and then even if he was not able to travel because of his health, he would send me to Navadvip to do the programs of Gaur Purnima or of his appearance time, etc. So I always felt in many ways that I was either going to see Srila Govinda Maharaj or he was sending me someplace to do some work for him. So I still feel that way now. I feel that when I'm going someplace, I'm going to see Srila Govinda Maharaj, and I also feel that he is sending me there to do some work. So I'm seeing that even though he's not present, then in one sense he is personally present, because I'm always thinking, oh, I'm traveling, I'm going to see Srila Govinda Maharaj, or he's sending me some place to do work for him, and I'm remembering so many relations with him and what he said. And I know he's no longer present, but at the same time I'm still feeling his presence by remembering, you know, how he would call us to him and how he would send us to places. So I still have that feeling. I don't feel like what I'm doing now is separate from what would from him. I still feel that he's involved. So I have that feeling. And how to continue in his absence. I lived so many years with Srila Govinda Maharaj and feel very fortunate. Now I don't know how many more years I have in this life. Maybe some years, maybe I don't know, but I feel that whatever I've gotten from Srila Govinda Maharaj, that is enough in the sense that I can still draw upon that, I can still remember him, and I can still do his work. I mean, I don't feel that I've missed anything. I don't feel like that now that he's gone, I can't function or can't do anything. I feel that, like, I have received so much from him. Now I'm able to utilize what he gave me, and I'm able to draw upon that. I don't really feel any shortcomings in any situation. I know there are many tests and many difficulties that we still have to face, and I still feel that, you know, Srila Govinda Maharaj should give us the strength to face them. Sometimes even things may seem difficult or overwhelming, but still, I don't feel that we're in any deficiency, that we can't deal with the situation. That doesn't mean that I know the future, I don't know what's going to happen. And I also have my preaching work. Govinda Maharaj has given me that preaching work, so I feel like I know what I have to do. When I sit down and I'm, you know, talking to people or I'm preaching, I still feel very happy to do that, and I feel inspired to do that. So I feel that that's good for me. And then also, it's very nice to be, like coming here to Navadvip, it's very nice to be with the devotees, whether I'm in California with the devotees or I'm coming home here to Navadvip with the devotees. I still feel that I have this fortune in my life. I'm fortunate. I feel Govinda Maharaj made me fortunate. So
today the mission continued to grow and to increase.
Pardon me?
Today the mission continued to grow and increase daily by all the work of all the charities. And for those who are coming in touch for the first time to the mission, and for those who didn't have like a close connection with Sri Gurudev, what is your like personal message or encouragement for them to like being in separation with him?
They didn't to be what?
I mean, having a relationship in separation with him. Many are coming to the mission, many read the books of Gurudev, or many read the, feel attracted by Guru Maharaj's books, and they come here, but Gurudev is not here. So what is your personal message to them?
Well, there are so many senior devotees that had association with Srila Govinda Maharaj, and they're trying to communicate Srila Govinda Maharaj's teachings and his affection with new persons, so they can draw upon that from that they're getting from the association of so many persons who long time had Srila Govinda Maharaj's association. They'll be able to receive that. You know, just as we were able to receive Srila Guru Maharaj from Srila Govinda Maharaj, not everyone had so much personal association with Srila Sridhar Maharaj, but Srila Govinda Maharaj communicated that to them always. And I also feel there are many devotees who can communicate Srila Govinda Maharaj's teachings and affection with persons who have come now. So being within the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat, you know, mat, it's society, you know, they'll get that experience. I think that this mission is unique in what it can offer to other people.